We're going to talk about the coming human enhancement revolution with Tom Horn. What does that all mean? We'll stand by on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and our guest tonight, Tom Horn. Tom is a researcher and freelance writer whose Raiders News update reports have been referred to by writers of the LA Times Syndicate, MSNBC, Christianity Today, WorldNet Daily, White House correspondents, and so many other news magazines and press agencies around the globe. He's appeared on numerous programs worldwide, once even served as a national spokesperson for Cloud 10's Pictures movie Deceived. You saw that with Louis Gossett Jr. and Judd Nelson. He's back on Coast to Coast, Tom Horn. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Hey, George. It's good to hear your voice again. Thanks for having me on.
You too. My pleasure. Tell me, what is this research, this coming human enhancement evolution and revolution?
Yep, you know, this is something I've been involved with now for about 20 years. I can't seem, for whatever reason, to be able to get away from the research, but what has made it more expedient now have been, over the last 24 months, several government reports, statements by the Pentagon that literally are describing the human enhancement revolution as being right around the corner, and for military purposes, George, they're looking at it as potentially the next arms race. And so what happened in the writing of that book, Forbidden Gates, that we just put out, is that I got all of the information I had done in the past that had to do with things we've talked about before, ancient history, the gods who came down, the genetic alteration that was involved in all of that, and started looking at it through the prism of these, you know, these statements coming out now. The U.S. National Intelligence Council, the European Institute for Security Studies, there's a new National Science Foundation report, Ethics of Human Enhancement, 25 Questions and Answers, in which they are saying that the human enhancement revolution is right around the corner. In fact, cosmologically speaking, George, it's the day after tomorrow. This is what they're saying. That in fact, two of the government reports point to the year 2012, that soon, and saying that really any time after that, all bets are off.
That is something. This is happening way too fast, Tom, isn't it?
Well, I just, look, it's coming. Well, the genetic sciences have been systematically developing genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and this year major breakthroughs in synthetic biology from the J. Craig Venter Institute. In fact, I thought it was interesting. I did not get to hear the first part of the show this evening, and I also didn't get to hear anything about the NASA press conference, but I went online real fast before coming on with you, and I understand that they're talking about a new form of life, an arsenic-based form of life, and I'm sure you guys probably have been talking about that for the whole first part of this show this evening, but it just shows you that, you know, life doesn't fit as neatly into the little box that we've always tried to say that it does. And as we're learning some of these issues, we're also ultimately going to apply it to the alteration of humankind. And that's what's being said. In fact, the whole point with the Pentagon, this actually revolved around what was, quote, supposed to be a leaked document. From the Jasons, the highest think tank, the celebrated scientists at the Pentagon's most prestigious scientific advisory panel, that they had created a special report for the Pentagon in which they're saying that that our enemies, and i.e. they're talking about China in particular, that our enemies are developing this technology right now, human enhancement, and especially cognitive enhancement, brain-machine interfacing, that sort of thing, and that they will get ahead of us in this technology unless we also fund it, stay ahead of it, and keep our spies on the ground in other countries to see how their technology is advancing. And I said a quote leaked document because the document was leaked to Wired magazine, who then turned around and wrote an article called Top Pentagon Scientists Fear Brain Modified Foes. But I think it was intentionally leaked. I think for the same reason I was on another show a few days ago and somebody said, well, if you're out here talking about this and you're sharing these government documents and you're providing downloads and putting links in your book and all that to these government reports, why doesn't somebody in the government come after you and shut you up? And I said, well, I think it's because I'm actually serving a purpose. If this is coming as quickly as what some of these think tanks within the government believe that it is. And we can see the funding even in this year's DARPA budget for human enhancement. They if it's coming that quickly, they've got to start educating the public about the human enhancement revolution and getting them used to the idea, because it takes time for people, you know, to adapt certain things like this to their world views. So I think the document, the Wired magazine, was leaked on purpose. I think that's why nobody's touched me, because they need the public to become aware of what's happening and how quickly it's going to unfold.
Absolutely. Tommy, I don't know if you saw the movie Iron Man 2, but it had to do basically with human enhancement and in a big way. And the crux of the movie was they wanted to have soldiers, enhanced soldiers, robotics, but enhanced nonetheless. And it's moving along in a very quick way. This type of soldier technology, is that fueling all of this? Is that what is pushing this faster and faster?
Well, certainly, the general answer to that question would be certainly, because that's where, you know, the money is. That's where the billions of dollars over the last 20 years have been flowing into this research, cognitive research. And what the Jasons are worried about is that our adversaries are going to get ahead of that. They're going to exploit human performance modification and then become a threat to national security. Of course, you know, some of the other people I talk to, they say, well, that's always what the government says. They always say if we don't get ahead of somebody else, they'll do it ahead of us. But we use it maybe for control tactics. Who knows? I mean, but, you know, there's so much stuff in the air. All I can take is the reports at face value. And the bottom line is, the Jason's part of it concern neuropharmaceutical performance enhancement. In other words, brain-computer interfacing. But then there was another conference that was recently hosted, I think May or June of this year, that was hosted in Washington D.C. Called Warring Futures, a future tense event: How Biotech and Robotics are Transforming Today's Military, but How That Is Going to Change the Rest of Us. And people can Google that and look it up and go there and watch the videos, because this was not, these were not hay flickers. This was an impressive list. In Washington, D.C., Vice Admiral Joseph Dyer, the U.S. Navy retired guy that's the president of the government industrial robotics division at iRobot, you know, that has all the giant contracts with DARPA. Major General Robert E. Schmindel, the USMC lead for the 2010 Quadrennial Defense Review. In fact, for that matter, John Mogford, the acting deputy director of the Defense Sciences offices at DARPA. This only happened like 90 days ago, and the whole purpose behind that conference in Washington, D.C. was to say, yes, it's being funded by the military, but what happens on the battlefield, what might change in asymmetrical warfare, is going to spread into the culture at large. What gets perfected there is going to be used here. And I took that to mean a couple of things. One, you start enhancing soldiers, but then the technology takes off and maybe becomes the new dream child for saving, you know, our bankrupt financial situation around the world. And so now IBM's implanting chips in everybody's brains or something. But I also took it to mean that, like, you know, here a couple of years ago, George, remember they came out with the non-lethal acoustic weapons and all that, and they said they're going to test it in Iraq. But then, lo and behold, they come over here, start using the against the political dissidents. So what happens in the battlefield gets funded in that way, gets perfected, but then it has a strange way of crawling over into the culture at large.
What are they working on, Tom, that really hasn't been brought to the forefront yet that might be 10 years out?
Well, biological enhancement. So if a person went to Google tonight, they could type in things about robotics. They'd find there's an article out today at St. Petersburg Time called "Could Robots Take Over the World?" In which they're basically predicting a Terminator society with inside of 10 years. But some of those robotics are going to be interfaced with human biological matter. There were two very important academic articles that were published just this week. One was by Margaret Somerville, the director of the Center for Medicine, Ethics, and Law at McGill University in Canada, which tends to stay ahead of technology. That's kind of their claim to fame. And her article was called "Scary Science Could Cause Human Extinction." That's actually the headline. and then at Jet Magazine, which is actually run by transhumanists, Dr. James Hughes and Nick Bostrom, but it's a peer-reviewed magazine where futurists, write their material and get it reviewed by their other academic compatriots. There was an article there called "Humanity's End: Why We Should Reject Radical Enhancement." Now, what are all these people responding to? They're saying there is something really big. They're hearing things that are coming out of the military. They're hearing things that are coming out of U.S. national intelligence agencies. They're reading the stuff that taxpayers here in the United States are actually funding, like the $1 million that the National Department of Health gave to Case Law School, whose report just ended. They haven't actually issued the report yet, but the study just ended, and Maxwell Melman, who's the bioethicist from Case Law School, is now traveling around the country giving lectures at our institutions, like at Arizona State University. And the title of his lecture is "Directed Evolution, Public Policy and Enhancement, a Transhumanism and the Future of Democracy." And you can listen to the podcast, and I'm telling you what, it will blow your mind, because he's talking about the genetic realteration of mankind. His report is the result of a taxpayer-funded study on this, and the reason why the government agreed to fund the study is because of the coming human enhancement revolution. What they're saying is we've got to set the perimeters around the studies. We've got to develop the guidelines that are going to be used for setting public policy, that is law. How will the Constitution, how will the Bill of Rights extend to human non-humans, to people who are only part human? So this is how quickly it's coming. And so what's out within 10 years? National Geographic magazine said 3 years ago that within 10 years there would be creatures walking the earth that are only part human. And what will we call them? What will we know them by? So all I can tell you is that these are what the experts are saying. And the something really big is coming announcement that was made over there at Jet Magazine actually involves artificial intelligence, which of course is more in Ray Kurzweil's domain.
Sure. Well, now what's the benefit of a biologically enhanced human? What could they do?
Well, first of all, they might be able to kick the crap out of people on the battlefield. You've got modern versions of the Nephilim standing on the battlefield. They don't get tired, and they may not even have the same kind of conscious resistance that the average human does to killing other people on the battlefield.
And what if they turn on their leaders?
Huh?
What if they turn on their leaders, their creators?
Basically? Yeah, that's part of the problem. In fact, George, this, and by the way, we photocopied pages out of DARPA's 2011 presidential budget before it went to the Hill, and it's still intact. It's been approved, and we put those inside the book, Forbidden Gates. I could also tell you that we're up to something like 20 news stories right now. We're running a whole series of news stories that thankfully Paul over at newswithviews.com has been willing to publish those, and people can go there and read these for themselves and get the links to the government reports and verify what we're saying is real. But in this year's DARPA 2011 presidential report, there are millions of dollars there's millions of dollars for editing soldier DNA, literal genetic alteration of humans on the battlefield. This is already in the test phase, evidently. But what's more exotic is they put millions of dollars in this 2011 budget for creating what they call biodesign. And biodesign is a mysterious, artificial, militarized life form. Wired magazine called it living, breathing creatures. But DARPA wants it to be immortal. In other words, they're trying to figure out how to get around cellular death. They're trying to create something that can basically cannot be killed. But to answer your question, what's interesting is that they also want a kill switch put in this thing. And they specifically want a kill switch put in it because they pointed out, you know, if it turned on us,
that's right,
or if it got captured by our enemies and they started to use it against us, we would need some method by which, what? You're going to throw a radio signal? What are you going to do? You're going to do something that causes the thing to shut down. That's how much fear they have of it, and yet they're being compelled to try to do it because they're saying that if we don't, our competitors are going to they're going to do it ahead of us, and then we will be in big problems.
Tom, what's going on in the field of brain enhancement? Anything?
Oh, man. Look, and this is probably one of the biggest areas right now. This is actually rolling out into the battlefield. They're going to start testing this stuff this year, next year. I certainly won't take time to read any parts out of it because I know we're pressed for time this evening, but people should read the report that was prepared for the military by the Columbia University Department of Neurological Studies. It was published just like last month, so it's a very fresh, a peer-reviewed Neurosurge Focus magazine article by a guy by the name of S. Kachikov, and it's called Brain-Computer Interfaces, Military Enhancement with BCIs, and it's talking about how rapidly the advances in BCI technology are developing inside military test beds, I guess, corridors, but that is going to evidently radically alter asymmetrical warfare as a result of altered soldier performance modification and optimization. That's the kind of language they use in there. But basically, in a nutshell, and in layman's terms, which I am, what they're saying is that there has been a ton of money that's been poured into BMI technology, brain-machine interfacing technology. But what's really been at the backdrop of this, what they've been trying to do, is the military has been trying to decode the neural processes of the human mind, the secret language of the brain. And so people can think of this as kind of being comparable, analogous to the machine code of a digital computer. But the neural code, the electrical firing in the brain, provides the software, the rules, the syntax that can be that is transformed into electrical impulses in the brain, meaning perception, memories, decisions. And it's a very accurate form of language, but it's been the biggest mystery. So DARPA, the U.S. Air Force, have been pumping billions of dollars into trying to decipher this secret language of the brain, the neural code. And evidently, there have been major, significant breakthroughs in this, which is going to mean, George, that what? Devices, so they have unlimited power over human psyche. Would they be able to monitor and manipulate brain cells with precision by being able to speak to them in their own private language? Well, it sounds like it. And to make this so that the listener can believe it and not sit back thinking, who is this guy? Is Tom Horn sitting there with a tinfoil cap on his head talking? to make it believable, look at the games systems, manufacturers.
Yeah.
And the stuff that they're going to be releasing this Christmas, in which a kid can put a rubber cap on their head that reads this neural code. It reads the electrical impulses of the brain that are emitted around the scalp of the head. And just by thinking about it, kids will learn how to control characters and role
play. Isn't that incredible? Tom, I want to talk more about that. And also, if they'll ever get us to the point where we'll be able to do remote viewing on command very easily, we'll be back. Let's talk about the ability. Can they create remote viewers just by technology? Can they do that? I don't know. Let's find out from Tom Horn when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with Tom Horn. Tom, will they be able to enhance our ability to do remote viewing, telekinesis, intuition? Can they get that?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, first of all, they actually even use almost some of this same identical language in these newest reports that I have been referring to, which people can download and read for themselves. They go to Forbidden Gate, singular, ForbiddenGate.com, or if they read those articles at News with Views, they'll find the links to the actual government reports that have been coming out over the last, well, some of them as early as like 3 weeks ago, in which a couple of different things, remote viewing, could be related to the human enhancement revolution. First of all, as a result of BMI technology, which we were discussing just before the break, because over the last couple of years, there have been major breakthroughs for the vision of, you know, what if we alter the brain, if we connect it to synthetic forms of intelligence, what might be the result of it? And what and one of the things that they're looking at appears to be like a synthetic form of telekinesis, where our soldiers on the battlefield, they will be wearing regional Wi-Fi bubbles over their heads. I mean, there will be regional Wi-Fi bubbles over their heads. They will be wearing a thing that's really no bigger than a Bluetooth, the way they described it, George. It's something that just hangs on their ear, or it's inside their helmet.
Yeah.
But it can read the neural processes of the brain. And what that will allow the soldiers to do is to communicate one with each other underneath these giant regional Wi-Fi bubbles. But they'll also be able to control robotic craft, you know, the drones that we're putting in the airs right now, the robotic tanks. Basically, everything's going to robotics. And those machines will be controlled just by the processes of the soldiers on the field thinking about what they want those devices to be able to do. So that's not really remote viewing, but it is a form of telekinesis. Now, the second way, though, that remote viewing could happen as a result of human enhancement really goes to some of the stuff that some of the transhumanists themselves, some of the world's leading transhumanists talking about. For instance, Professor Nick Bostrom. He's the director of the Future of Humanity Institute, and he's a professor at Oxford University. People can go to his website, nickbostrom.com, and read all the various things that he's talking about. This guy is not to be taken as a crackpot. He is an intellectual. He is a philosopher, and he is very correct. And I would, even though his worldview and my worldview are on opposite, you know, polar sides of the planet, I would say that almost everything he is saying is going to come to pass. And one of the things that he's talking about, George, is how through human enhancement we are going to change human perception. We're going to be able to see into other realms. We're going to be able to see into other dimensions. Now, when you first bring some of this stuff up, it sounds so incredible that you think, well, the guy's got to be a nut job or something. But then you realize that shamans throughout history have used psychoactive drugs, various things that can alter the perception of the brain that then opens gateways to communication, let's say, with other intelligences. And for those Christians that might be listening and thinking that this is not correct, it's also biblical. The Bible uses the term pharmakia, the use of drugs that will have an effect upon the brain for opening contact with other kinds of intelligence. Now, what Bostrom and some of the other transhumanists are thinking is that as we begin to remanufacture humans, we're going to enhance our genetic structure. We're going to blend ourselves with animals and plants and synthetic forms of life through these modern sciences, including recombinant DNA technology, genetic engineering, transgenics, all that. But as a result of doing it, we can look to the animal kingdom and we can see some of the things that animals do. Animals, you know, sometimes almost seem to have a sense of precognitive.
Oh, sure. Look what happened during the Indonesian tsunami. They all headed for the hills.
They headed for the hills. And why are they doing that? Now, it's, you know, in one way it would be easy to say, well, you know, they kind of feel the vibrations of the earth and understand what it means in ways that we don't. Well, that might be true. But there's another thing that animals can do, and once again, also based on the Bible, they can see into what we call the spirit world. Balaam's donkey, you and I have talked about that before. They have sonar, magnetic orientation, sensors for electricity and vibration. I mean, they have all kinds of what we would call extra-human or ultra-human abilities. And what might it mean then when we start augmenting ourselves, when we start altering ourselves, when we start merging ourselves with the animal kingdom? This is actually seen as a very positive thing by some of the leaders of transhumanism. And I think, frankly, that they are correct, that it will open new modes of perception. That's the term that Bostrom uses, new modes of perception.
Well, in a strange way, though, Tom, we are, you know, I've got a friend of mine who has a pig valve. He's got a cow's aorta. in his body. So, you know, they are mixing animal parts with humans, but I guess what you're saying is they're going to do it even more.
Well, they're not only going to do it more. I'm talking a couple of things. One, altering the brain itself, altering our brain so that it's not only no longer entirely human, but it won't be human in any sense that we've ever understood that. And also, George, germline genetic engineering. Germline genetic engineering is also poised to begin. We're doing tests with this right now. We're doing it at the embryonic level. But this is a science that has the potential to actually achieve the goals of even the early eugenics movement, the creation of the Übermensch, through genetically modifying human genes in really early embryos, sperm and eggs, like that. And as a result, then, it wouldn't just change the person that's been altered. It changes everything downline from that person. It would truly have the power to reassemble the very nature of humanity into post-human by altering an embryo's every cell, leading then to inheritable modifications extending to all succeeding generations. So that's there is a great deal of information to this, and so I don't want to get bogged down in, you know, because I'm not even a pseudoscientist, let alone being a scientist. but I am a researcher, but my background is in divinity, and so when I hear, you know, talk about we're going to merge ourselves with animals, and as a result of merging ourselves with animals, we're going to be able to see into these new modes of perception, potentially even into the spirit world. Did you know that at Arizona State University, the Templeton Foundation has been hosting for the last 3 years a long series of lectures into transhumanism and the coming human enhancement revolution? And as a result of the lectures that they're hosting there, they've had all these students asking basically the same kind of questions that I've been asking. Mm-hmm. Okay, but what if we are more than just a biological construct? What if there's something more to man? What if you don't just die and that's the end? What if we are soul, not just the mind, but we are soul, we are spirit? And what if there are other intelligences that are all around us? By altering ourselves, might we, you know, somehow come in contact with them? And so, interestingly, Arizona State University just this last year launched a brand new project called the SOFIA Project. And you can go to ASU's website and click on the SOFIA Project tab, and it explains exactly what it is about. It is to verify and or possibly make contact with, and then they list, angels, demons, ghosts, a universal mind, God, so the spirit world. That's what they want to be able to do. Now, Terrence McKenna, I think Terrence might have even been on Coast to Coast
a long time ago.
Yeah, before he died. Well, he was the original.
Of course, with this show, he could have been on after he died. You never know. But go ahead.
Yeah, he novelty theory, his various theories. And Terrence, of course, you know, he was known to use psychoactive drugs, went into various places and used the various drugs, DMT, and I don't know if he used absinthe, but he, you know, used these various exotic things that are found in nature that are psychedelic drugs, basically. But he used those to expand his mind for a particular purpose, to make contact with other intelligence, which he claimed that he did. But what a lot of people don't know is that Terrence was also a transhumanist. And Terrence believed that brain enhancement, altering our brains using science like genetic engineering, he believed that following the technological singularity that Kurzweil writes about, and if somebody doesn't know what that means, it simply means there's going to come a moment when strong artificial intelligence, a thinking artificial machine, basically, is going to come online trillions of times, more powerful and smarter than all the Einsteins that have ever lived. This is Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines. It's on the opposite side of that. It's Hugo de Garis's nightmare about the Artelect War. But Terrence believed that technological singularity would happen, and that right after that, human brains would be altered as a result of the knowledge we would receive from technological singularity. And guess what? He believed that a permanent pathway would then be established for contact with other dimensional beings, that what we do, or what some do, with drugs in opening pathways of the mind to make contact with the spirit world, that we would be able to do that permanently through genetically reengineering the brain.
It just happened so fast, Tom. Tell me a little bit more, the Break Goddess. You were talking about the video game with the little skull cap. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, we're going to see that this Christmas, if not here in the United States, certainly in Japan. But as I understand it, it's going to be here in the United States as well, where games makers, games systems are going to be introduced that will allow people to control the games and to role play and whatever just by thinking about it. Look, people have watched over the last decade the movies and the videos and the documentaries where you have these crude intracranial BMI chips where the skull is basically has to be opened up and you have rhesus monkeys and in a few cases test humans who had brain chips placed in their brain that can read the neural code. And then you've saw the films where they move a computer mouse cursor around on the screen just by thinking about it. In one I saw where a human test subject that had all this stuff introduced into their brain was able to move their wheelchair around just by thinking about it. But what has happened is in learning to define, in learning to decipher or decode the neural code and to read that extracranially, the outside of the scalp, it has solved such tremendous issues. And this is being funded in the military, but now the technology, of course, is quickly being picked up, and so they have these Christmas games that are coming out. Basically, it's happened as a result of military-driven technology that has crafted arrays of microelectrodes that can eavesdrop, George, on hundreds, thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of separate neurons simultaneously, and they've developed the necessary computers and the algorithm for analyzing that data and then interpreting thought into computer code, breaking it down into lines of ones and zeros, which then on the computer side can be reassembled into language. These are the magnificent breakthroughs that they've had as a result of the National Institute of Health, DARPA, the U.S. Air Force, pumping millions of dollars over the last few years. And what they've imagined in some of the, like if a person goes to our website, ForbiddenGate.com, or if they read those NewsWithViews.com articles, they'll see a link to the U.S. National Science Foundation and Department of Commerce Commission report, Converging Technologies for Improving Human Performance. It's almost a 500-page report that George laid out the blueprints, the bullet points, and predicted. And now, here's what's cool. This was actually commissioned in 2002, and they predicted that within one decade, that means 2012, the human enhancement revolution would begin, and go and look at this magnificent article that was taxpayer funded about how we're all going to be, enhanced. But they in that report they have a blueprint for cyborg warriors downloading complex fighting procedures directly into their brains as a result of BMI technology, like in the Matrix. Controlling these robotic jets with their thoughts, you think back about Clint Eastwood and Firefox, but this is something that's a million times more realistic. And then also there is, depictions in there that sound to me, George, very much like the assassin in the Manchurian Candidate. Where you also have soldiers who, because the communication is two-way. It's not just them being able, with these caps on the outside of their head, for some remote agency to be able to read their thoughts, but they're also sending information back that somehow is introduced into the brain. So now what? You have the voice of God, but now it's come to pass. It's real. It's SSSS or whatever technology. It sounds like this is exactly what's happening.
You don't see this slowing down at all, do you?
No, I don't. I see it picking up. In fact, everybody does. Ray Kurzweil, he says we are right now at the bend in the knee, which means we are about to round the curve on the exponential curve. the law of accelerating returns, all these various aspects of science. So long as Moore's law or something else doesn't slow down our technological advancement as a result of, you know, you can't compress enough information as needed into a particular kind of silicon chip or whatever, and so that slows the computers down. What's happening in the in technology is just the opposite of that. Every one of these reports, and including the new ones, look. If somebody does go to News with Views, or, and I'm not trying to sell News with Views, by the way, but if they go to News with Views, they read those articles, or if they go to Forbidden Gate, if you don't do anything else, get the report. It's right there in PDF. You can download it, read it for yourself. It was published about 8 weeks ago now. This was from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence here in the United States of America, working in tandem with the European Institute for Security Studies. So it doesn't get any bigger than these two global powers, if you will, and their intelligence agencies. And the name of the report is Global Governance 2025. At a critical juncture. And George, what this report is about is kind of goes along with the last interview I did with you, when we were talking about Washington, D.C., and, you know, who are the powers that are trying to put together a new world order.
Yep.
This report is on what might be the trigger events, what might be the causal agents that could suddenly set in motion the need for the imposition of global government. That's what this report is about. And go to page 35 and read where they start talking about the biotechnology revolution and how that none of the governments of the world are prepared to deal comprehensively across the scientific community, industry, and governments on what is coming in the biotechnology revolution. And then they specifically start talking about enhanced humans.
I could see enhanced humans being astronauts, couldn't you?
Following the Royal Academy, you know, early this year.
Yeah.
The Royal Academy having their 350th anniversary and talking about the detection of extraterrestrial life. We did a special on my little tiny radio show, where we spent 20 hours and 20 guests, and one of the guys we brought on was Dr. James Hughes, who is one of the world's leading transhumanists, and we asked him that very question, that in the future of spaceflight, well, my wife and I had just went and saw the movie Avatar, and I noticed how many transhumanist themes were in that movie, so we asked him a lot of questions about that and the genetic alteration of humans for the purposes of spaceflight, and they definitely do have a lot of ideas about how technology could be used to enhance persons to better enable them to endure, you know, all of the demands of spaceflight. But that is not what this new U.S. National Intelligence Council, EU Institute study is talking about. They're saying that enhanced humans could become a lethal force, basically an army, if you will.
That's right. And there's a danger to that, as you said. That's why they need that kill switch. We'll be back. We're going to open up the phone lines now with Tom Horn as we talk about this incredible enhancement of humans on Coast to Coast AM.